It's been over 2 months since a major Montreal museum has shone a spotlight on the city's sex workers, and especially the way they've come together with communities across town to fight for collective rights. The exhibit at the Centre des Mémoires Montréalaises is called By and For, and this Thursday, they're hosting a talk that dives deeper into what that name really means, and how Montreal can encourage more organizations like the sex worker rights group Stella, who put on the exhibition and is co-hosting Thursday's panel alongside Quebec-based Projet Lune and Drug Users Association Absud. Coming up next, you'll hear our conversation with Stella's Jen Clayman about what By and For really means. Take a listen. Our listeners just heard a little bit already, but I'd like you to say in your own words what By and For means at Stella in advance of this talk that you have coming on Thursday.
It's not a simple question. It involves a lot of background, but simply put, if I can, I'll say that the concept of By and For to us means restoring and building individual and collective power in sex workers' lives. One of the ways that we do that is through having an organization that is run by sex workers, for sex workers, at every level of the organization. So our board of directors, our direction, our staff, our members, our volunteers are a majority of sex workers. And that ensures that people are guiding and making decisions on a collective level for the sex working community.
Yeah, I want to talk about why that's so important, because, you know, it's the title of your exhibition that's on right now at the Centre des Mémoires Montréalaises. It's the subject of this talk, this panel that you guys have on Thursday at 5:30. And, you know, I was reading the description you put out for that panel, and you say that social movements and community organizations today are less often led by people directly affected by the issues than by well-intentioned allies. And I want to hear from you more about what explains that phenomenon. Because you guys, you say, okay, here at Stella, we're doing things differently. How common is this alternate reality where you don't have as many people within these movements as you have professionals who are handling these issues?
So I'll start by saying that we are specifically referring to the way the community, I don't like to call it a community sector, but really we're talking specifically about how community organizations have neglected to include the communities that they're serving in the organization itself. And they sort of maintain a relationship of need between communities and the organization itself. With respect to social movements and people's movements, I think that's an entirely different conversation, and I wouldn't say the same thing. But the community organizations in Montreal, for sure, many began from a point where communities were organizing for their own rights and to provide and support each other with different needs, whether it be housing or food or otherwise. And over time, some of those movements have become more institutionalized and run by people who are not necessarily living the realities of the people that are experiencing those realities. So that's happened for various reasons. I can't claim to know one reason why that's happened, but for sure we can look to a history of when community organizations in Montreal, specifically ones around harm reduction and HIV prevention, were created, how they were created by communities for those communities in a time of crisis as well, and how over time that crisis has looked different, and also the funding landscape has looked different. And also people, once they acquire power within organizations, are less likely to give it up. And so there's many reasons why the landscape has changed. But I think for us at Stella, one of the things we know is that the concept of creating power in communities is, and through this notion of By and For communities is definitely in peril. For us, the importance of the panel is that we encourage reflection within organizations of how power is being held across the organization, who is holding it, why are they holding it, what does it mean, is it movable, what are our bugs, or where is the resistance lying, and to actually get that conversation moving so that people can think about what meaningful participation looks like, so that people can stop, so that organizations stop tokenizing people with quote unquote this notion of lived experience, rather than just tokenizing communities. Like, they can think about, what are we trying to do? Like, is our organization actually aiming towards some kind of social change, or are we just band-aiding things? And if we are just band-aiding things, why and what does that mean to us? And I think once that conversation starts happening, that's a really important step.
I want to pick up on something you said. You talked about this idea of lived experience as something that can be tokenizing. And obviously in the past decade, we've seen the rise of this lived experience discourse. I think some people would see it as trying to do a buy-in for type of movement. You know, why do you say that that is tokenizing? How have we arrived at this point where it's kind of more of maybe a buzzword than an actual indicator of a structural change?
And I was poo-pooing the language more of lived experience than I was the concept. Like, I think it's just these lived experience and like peer worker, these terms are thrown around.
But I want to hear your point of view as somebody who's working in this sector and seeing these things day to day, because I think there's a perception that something about this discourse has gone awry from maybe where it started. And I'd like to hear how that is actually playing out on the ground.
Yeah. I mean, it's playing out in different ways. A lot of the ways that this concept of peer worker plays out is that a lot of organizations hire one person with experience, let's just say of sex work or of drug use or of living with HIV or they tokenize people of different perceived or actual races or classes or gender. Like, it's just to hire one person. Often what that does is it puts an individual under a lot of pressure because they don't have any experience necessarily working collectively with community. And so they're only bringing forward their individual experience. And so they can't respond to the collective. And they can't respond to other individuals because they don't know. They only have their own experience. And it becomes a very different kind of response to what is a collective and diverse experience. It becomes about one person. Often that person also is paid less than other people within the organization. I mean, that I think in Montreal is less the case for peer workers, because the organizations that have been run by and for over the years have really pushed back against this notion of peer workers getting more informal work or not enough stable schedules and also less of a salary. So now the biggest pressure that we see is more around what is expected of that person, about being in community, about being out all the time, about being like the representative. And it's just a curious phenomenon, because why are organizations limiting the way they hire to these quote unquote peer roles? Often it's because they're funded for like one or two peer roles, and these organizations are not fighting back against the funders to say, well, wait a second, actually, it's not just about someone having that lived experience, about what the kind of service that we can offer is quite different in the conversations we're having with people, in the ways that we understand different intervention strategies, right? So it's not just about hiring someone because they represent a certain demographic. It's because the service is actually quite different. And so organizations need to push back against funders as well.
But then the outcome of that kind of organization where it's not limited to these peer workers, but everybody has that background, it is a buy-in for, can you just say a little bit about, I guess, what that kind of creates? Like, Stella works
absolutely
sex workers running the organization, you know, within those communities in Montreal, like, how does that change just the kind of tools that people have at their disposal? Yeah.
I mean, for Stella and a group like ACPSUD, which is a drug user rights group in Montreal, there's like a particular understanding of living certain realities like criminalization. And how that filters through the different areas of your life. There's a language, there's a culture, there's a trust. But it also means that the people who see Stella from near or far know that Stella is actually representing, hopefully, if we're doing a good job, their interests, and feel like there's an organization that's fighting for them and fighting to center sex workers at every moment, rather than just fighting to stay alive as an organization. And I think at Stella, we've made that quite clear that that is our intention, even if sometimes that gets forgotten by people, that's what the intention is. So it becomes more than just a place for people to go to get services and to get help. It becomes a community, or it becomes a beacon of excitement, or a beacon of support, it becomes a symbol of something much bigger in terms of social change. And I think that's what sex worker rights or buy-in for organizations offer, is more of a like a whole system of belief about our positions in society, and rather than just a place I can go to get some help. Because then sex workers who don't need help won't come to Stella, but because it's Stella is what it is as a buy-in for, people still relate to it in different ways, or love it from afar or hate it from afar, whatever their relationship is to it. It's that they recognize it to be something beyond, if you need help, come to Stella. They recognize it as a space of community support and community struggle.
Jen Clayman, thank you so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jules.
That was Jen Clayman from Stella, L'Ami de Mimi. Stella will be hosting a panel discussion about the importance of buy-in for movements this Thursday at 5:30 at the Centre des Mémoires Montréalaises, 1210 Boulevard Saint-Laurent, with Projet Lune, a buy-in for sex worker organization based out of Quebec, and the drug user association APSUD. For CKUT, I'm Jules Bujal with the Local Journalism Initiative.